Prime Minister. Morning, Prime Minister. Is it the newspapers?
Yes. They all say that since my administration came to office, nothing has changed.
You must be very proud.
That's not meant as a compliment, Bernard. I read all 10 of this morning's London newspapers. There's not a good word about me in 9 of them.
But the 10th is better.
10th is worse. Doesn't mention me at all.
What have they got against you this morning?
Well, basically, they all say the same thing. That I'm a windbag.
Good heavens.
Yeah. Extraordinary, isn't it? They say that my administration's all rhetoric, that I talk and talk, but nothing ever gets done. Simply isn't true. There are many reforms in the pipeline. Great new change of direction. Great new schemes of development. A whole new philosophy of government. Profound change in the whole social fabric and geopolitical climate of this country.
So, what is actually happening?
Nothing yet, obviously.
Oh, that'll be Sir Humphrey.
Let us send him in.
Sir Humphrey, I suppose the origin of this criticism is this rumour about another big scandal in the city.
How did you guess?
Oh, Humphrey, I've decided to respond to all this criticism about a scandal in the city. The press is demanding action.
What are you proposing to do?
I shall appoint someone.
And when did you take this momentous decision?
Today, when I read the papers.
But when did you first think of it?
Today, when I read the papers.
And for how long, may I ask, did you weigh the pros and cons of this decision?
Not long. I decided to be decisive.
Prime Minister, if I may say, I think you worry too much about what the papers say.
Only a civil servant could have made that remark, Bernard. I have to worry about them, particularly with the party conference coming up. These rumours of a scandal just won't go away, you know.
Well, let's not worry about it until it becomes something more than a rumour. I'd just like to show you the cabinet agenda.
No, not just now. This is rather more important.
With respect, Prime Minister, it is not. The only way to understand the press is to remember that they pander to their readers' prejudices.
Don't tell me about the press. I know exactly who reads the papers. The Daily Mirror is read by people who think they run the country. The Guardian is read by people who think they ought to run the country. The Times is read by the people who actually do run the country. The Daily Mail is read by the wives of the people who run the country. The Financial Times is read by people who own the country. The Morning Star is read by people who think the country ought to be run by another country. And the Daily Telegraph is read by people who think it is.
Prime Minister, what about the people who read The Sun?
Sun readers don't care who runs the country, as long as she's got big tits.
So what do you make of this Philip Sperenson business, Desmond?
Not too good, I'm afraid.
What do you mean, worse than the press is saying? It's something more than just another investment bank that's made the wrong investments.
I'm afraid so. Tip of the iceberg.
Tell me more.
They've broken the rules.
What do you mean, the insider trading regulations?
No.
Well, that's one relief.
I mean, of course they've broken those, but they've broken the basic the basic rule of the city.
I didn't know there were any.
That's the one. If you're incompetent, you have to be honest, and if you're crooked, you have to be clever. See, if you're honest, then when you make a pig's breakfast of things, the chaps rally around and help you out.
If you're crooked?
Well, if we're making good profits for them, chaps then start asking questions. They're not stupid. Well, not that stupid.
So the ideal is a firm which is honest and clever.
Yes. Let me know if you ever come across one, won't you?
And Philip Sperenson?
Well, they were breaking the law. I wouldn't put it like that.
Well, were the directors siphoning off shareholders' funds into their own companies?
Might have paid it back later, though.
But they didn't.
Well, they haven't yet.
Tax fiddles.
Well, they placed their own interpretation on Treasury regulations. Someone has to interpret them.
What about the Treasury's interpretation?
It didn't seem appropriate.
The capital transfers to Liechtenstein companies.
Bit of that.
Bribery?
Well, undisclosed advance commissions to foreign government officials.
Bribery?
Yes. Oh, thank you. May I have the bill, please?
Thank you. So, when's all this going to come out?
Well, that's just it, you see. It mustn't.
How do you stop it?
I don't know. That's what I meant about breaking the rules. If they were profitable, none of this would ever need to come out. But now they're going bust. I don't mind telling you, I'm worried.
Are you involved? But surely a huge bank like yours isn't really affected.
I wish you were right. But we've been supporting them in a big way. We're in for 400 million. It's all very well for you, Humphrey. But when you've got all that Arab money... When you've got all that Arab money at 11%, you'd look pretty silly if you didn't lend it to somebody for 14%. There weren't that many people you could trust who'd pay 14%.
Oh, obviously.
And then we kept having to put in more and more to keep them afloat.
But if you knew they were crooks...
We didn't.
But you could have made inquiries.
You don't make inquiries of that sort in the city. They seemed like decent chaps. Decent chaps don't check up on decent chaps to see if they're behaving like decent chaps.
Ignorance is worth paying £400 million for.
Well, ignorance is safety.
It's not a crime to be deceived. And it's not our own money, is it?
Gilbert.
Oh, thank you.
So, what's going to happen?
Well, only one answer. The Bank of England must bail out Philip Berenson. No publicity, keep it in the family. That way we get our money back.
At the taxpayers' expense?
Of course.
Can it be done?
All depends on the new governor of the Bank of England.
Well, he hasn't been appointed yet.
I know. That's what I wanted to talk about. Who's it going to be?
Well, it hasn't been decided, but I understand from the PM that the front-runner is going to be Alexander Jameson.
You're joking.
No.
But that's impossible.
You mean he's too honest?
Not just that he behaves honestly. That doesn't matter. Some of my best friends behave honestly. None of them are smart enough to get away with it. But Jameson actually tries to stop dishonesty. It's fatal. The world doesn't work like that.
Yes, I know what you mean. He did that appalling report on waste and inefficiency in the civil service.
You've got to block him.
Well, it could be difficult. It's really a Treasury recommendation.
But the Prime Minister makes the appointment.
Yes.
You see, it's not just Philip Berenson. Once Jameson starts his detective work, all sorts of other things will come out. It'll be a major scandal. Collapse of confidence. Sterling crisis. The pound will go through the floor.
Yes, I see.
But you must make the Prime Minister see it. Confidence mustn't be eroded. The city owns the country. £6 billion a year. You can't hazard that just because a few chaps do a few favours for their friends without telling the shareholders, can you? Wouldn't be right.
Oh, Dorothy, I'm not at all happy about my speech for the party conference. It contains absolutely no good news.
We couldn't think of any.
Well, we have to make the bad news look good. I'd better say something about the health service. Care for the elderly, mothers and children, growing up into a healthy nation.
Value for money?
I can't say that. Everybody knows that costs are completely out of control.
Right. We are spending more than ever to make our health service the best in the world.
Good. Now, defence. I was hoping to say something about defence cuts, but I haven't been able to persuade them to make any yet.
This government will not put the security of the nation in jeopardy by penny-pinching and false economies. Not that we'd really have put the security of the nation in jeopardy by having one service music school instead of three separate ones for the Army, Navy and the RAF. I mean, it could hardly be a specifically Royal Naval method of playing bassoon.
You're not going to put that in, are you? No, sorry.
Is there anything good we can say about the economy?
The economy, that's a problem. No really good news at all.
Oh, we'll find something.
You don't think any bad news is going to break actually during the conference, do you?
Well, don't ask me. I'm only the political advisor. You're the one that sees the secret treasury papers.
I was thinking about this Phillips Berenson scandal. What do you make of it?
I'm suspicious.
Why?
Because of the statements of the chairman of the Stock Exchange, the chairman of Lloyd's, and the governor of the Bank of England.
There haven't been any statements.
That's why I'm suspicious. There'd be nothing in these rumours. They'd all be falling all over themselves to say so.
It's so unfair. Scandals in the city always look bad for the government, and it's nothing to do with me. I know. I could announce the new governor of the Bank of England. Bernard, pop out and see if we can see Humphrey around somewhere. Tell him I'd like to see him in a couple of minutes.
Yes, please.
Now, where were we?
The economy. Unemployment coming down at all?
No.
We shall make the attack on unemployment our top priority. Okay?
Rising too fast.
We cannot afford to pay ourselves more than we earn. The world does not owe us a living. Interest rates?
Too high.
You mean they might come down before the conference? Now, that would be terrific.
I don't have that kind of luck.
Well, if the whole picture's a total disaster, we can always wave the Union Jack. The nation's great destiny.
unique role on the world stage?
Devote every effort to building a peaceful and prosperous world for our children and our children's children.
That's probably about how long it'll take.
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey, the Prime Minister wonders if you could join him in 5 minutes.
Yes, certainly, Bernard.
Bernard?
Yes.
Any news yet about the governorship of the Bank of England?
Well, the Prime Minister is planning to appoint Alexander Jameson, Mr. Clean. So that's one bit of good news.
It's appalling news.
Oh, are you going to try and change the Prime Minister's mind?
No. I'm going to change the Prime Minister's mind.
Well, he seems very keen on him.
I know, so that'll be my starting point. When you wish to suggest that somebody is perhaps not the ideal choice...
You rubbish them?
The first stage is to express absolute support.
Why?
Because you don't want to go on record as saying somebody's no good. You must be seen to be their friend. After all, it is necessary to get behind someone before you can stab them in the back.
But Alexander Jameson is good. He's extremely honest and efficient.
Excellent. So that's the second stage. You list all his praiseworthy qualities, especially those that make him unsuitable for the job. And then you praise them to the point where they become a vice. That's the third stage. Or, better still, you oversimplify his views by labelling them, as you just did.
You mean Mr. Clean?
Yes. But I think we can do better than that. Do sit down, Bernard. Now, isn't he a churchgoer?
Yes, I believe he was once a lay preacher, a long time ago.
Splendid news. We can certainly use that against him. What a charming man. Hasn't an enemy in the world. But is he really up to dealing with some of those rogues in the city?
Well, that won't wash. Jameson's pretty tough.
Then we'll say he's too tough. That's the fourth stage. You name all his bad points by defending and excusing them. You know... Oh, it probably doesn't matter that he was a conscientious objector. I'm sure nobody's really questioned his patriotism. Or I think the criticisms of him for bankrupting his last company weren't entirely fair.
Well, that would certainly do it.
Well, if it doesn't, you can always hint at a hidden scandal. If he's not married, hint at homosexuality.
He is married.
Adultery. With a lady who is beyond reproach, one of the royals, for instance.
Or a television newsreader.
Well, what if he's obviously happily married?
Well, then say he's extremely puritanical, or he drinks, or he's having psychiatric treatment. Really, Bernard, the possibilities are endless. Listen and learn.
Humphrey, we've been working on my speech for the party conference. I'm rather worried about this Phillips Berenson scandal.
Oh, I know these very serious matters, sir.
Certainly is.
No, dear lady. It's just that the bank overlent to one big borrower, that's all.
Some of its directors have a slightly shady past. I think there's more to it.
Can you prove it?
No, it's my antennae.
Oh! I think, Prime Minister, that we are in the realm of female intuition.
We'll see.
We shall indeed.
The good news is that I've decided to appoint Alexander Jameson as Governor of the Bank of England.
Oh, the lay preacher. What a nice chap.
Why do you call him the lay preacher?
Well, he is, isn't he?
Is he? Oh, that's good, isn't it?
Oh, good is exactly the word. He's a really good man. Did a really good job at the Whitefish Authority, too, didn't he?
Where does he preach?
Well, in church, I imagine. He's frightfully religious and terribly honest. Honest with absolutely everybody.
Is he? Oh, that is good.
Of course it's good, on the whole. If he finds a scandal anywhere, I mean, even here in number 10, he'll tell everybody, no doubt about that.
You mean he's indiscreet?
Oh, dear, that's such a pejorative word, isn't it? I prefer to say he's obsessively honest.
Anyway, you think he's the right man to bring the city into life?
Oh, absolutely, if you want a saint. Of course, there are those who say he doesn't live in the real world. He is extremely puritanical, even for a Bible basher.
See?
Oh, yes, a bit of an Ayatollah, in fact. The thing is, do you want to risk a Samson who might bring the whole edifice crashing down?
Yes, that's a worry, isn't
it? Yes, he's no respecter of persons. And although treading on toes is sometimes a necessity, he's inclined to make it a hobby. He likes everything out in the open. He talks very freely to the press. In fact, he's not awfully realistic.
Do you know anything else about him?
Well, one wonders if anybody can be that moral. I've heard...
Yes.
No. I'm sure it won't come out.
What?
No, nothing. I'm sure it's nothing.
Secretary of the Treasury,
sir. Pray, my dear
sir. Humphrey.
Come sit down.
Thanks. What's this rumour I hear that you're rubbishing Jameson?
Not the lay preacher, I think he's his manager.
Don't play that game with me, Humphrey. The Treasury wants him to be the new governor of the Bank of England.
Why?
Because we think it's about time that the governor of the Bank of England is known to be both intelligent and competent.
Well, it'd certainly be an innovation.
Don't you think it should be tried?
But it's so dangerous.
Oh, look, Humphrey, we keep enduring these city scandals. The Chancellor of the Exchequer is fed up with having to defend the indefensible, and so is the Treasury.
Oh, Frank, I understand. You're looking after the Chancellor's interests. That's your job. I'm looking after the Prime Minister's interests. And the nation's, that's mine.
Humphrey, an honest financial sector can't damage the national interest.
Look, in the long term, I agree it's a plus. But unfortunately, in the short term, as you know, an inquiry into the city would mean a loss of confidence. The pound would plunge, the share index would plunge, and the government would plunge with them.
Oh, well, I'm afraid that's YP.
YP?
Your problems.
Actually, Frank, I'm not so sure. Now, as you know, about 60% of Philip Sperenson's outstanding loans are with three foreigners of dubious repute. Now, the Bank of England is charged with the responsibility of supervising Philip Sperenson, but their supervision has been a farce.
I know, they're investigators, they're a bunch of amateurs.
But who's responsible for supervising the Bank of England? The Treasury, isn't it?
Well, yes. How can I tell the Chancellor that if we have a clean-up, he may be held responsible?
He'd be defending the really indefensible this time, wouldn't he? He'd need an awful lot of support from the PM.
Yes, but he'd get it, presumably.
Well, the PM isn't all that keen on defending the indefensible. He'd need a lot of convincing. The Chancellor would have to tell him that he'd been let down by his Treasury officials, Frank. YP.
Absolutely right. This is frightful. What's the difference between irregularities and malpractices?
Irregularity means it's a crime, but you can't prove it. Malpractice means it's a crime and you can prove it.
Has anyone else seen this?
Nobody.
How did we get hold of a secret auditor's report on Philip Sperenson?
A senior partner at the accountants is a friend of mine.
Just friendship?
Apparently he's looking forward to reading the New Year's honours list.
Okay, that's all right. How do we do it? Which section?
What about through the Welsh office for services to leaks?
What surprises me is that Bartlett's Bank should be so deeply involved. Doesn't that surprise you?
Well, it would have done if they didn't have Sir Desmond Glazebrook as chairman.
On earth did he become chairman?
Well, he never has any original ideas. He never takes a stand on principle. And because he doesn't understand anything, he's always agreed with whoever he's talking to. Though obviously people think he's sound.
Is that why I've been invited to consult him about this governorship of the Bank of England?
He's due in a few minutes, actually.
I think you may find he doesn't want you to appoint Alexander Jameson to do a thorough clean-up job.
Have I any option after this?
Well, not really. Not if it gets out.
Well, some of it's bound to.
If it gets to court, it'll all come out. If the Bank of England does a rescue, they can probably keep the worst of it quiet.
Who do you think Desmond Glazebrook will want me to appoint?
Desmond Glazebrook, Prime Minister.
Absolutely right, Bernard.
What about?
You're not serious.
Well, who has the most interest in the cover-up? Sir Desmond Glazebrook.
Better ask him to come in.
Sir Humphrey's with him. Send him in.
Presumably they both know about this.
Yes, but they mustn't know that you know. Or you'll have to make the senior partner an earl.
Ah! Sir Desmond.
How good of you to come.
Right, sir.
Do sit down, won't you? Now, as you know,
I've got to appoint a new governor for the Bank of England. I'd welcome your views.
Well, I certainly think you should appoint one.
I think the Prime Minister's more or less decided that. The question is whom?
Ah, that's tricky. Needs to be someone the chaps trust.
I feel we need someone who's intelligent, energetic, upright.
Hold on.
Don't agree?
Well, of course, it's a jolly interesting idea, Prime Minister. I'm not sure the chaps would trust that sort of chap.
I think the Prime Minister is worried about financial scandals. Are you worried about financial scandals, Sir Desmond?
Well, of course, we don't want any of those. But, if you go for the sort of chap the chaps trust, then you can trust him to be the sort of chap to see the chaps don't get involved in any scandals.
You mean he'd hush them up?
No. Any hint of suspicion, and you have the chap straight up for lunch. Ask him straight out if there's anything in it.
What if he says no?
Well, you have to trust the chap's word. That's how the city works.
What do you know about Phillips Berendsen?
What do you know about Phillips Berendsen?
Well, only what I read in the papers.
Oh, good. Yes, well, they're in a bit of trouble, that's all. They lent a bit of money to the wrong chaps. Could happen to anyone.
So you haven't heard any rumours?
Oh, well, there are always rumours.
Of bribery? Embezzlement? Misappropriation? Insider dealing?
Oh, come, dear lady. Those are strong words.
So they're not true?
Well, there are different ways of looking at things.
What's a different way of looking at embezzlement?
Oh, well. If a chap embezzles, you have to do something about it.
Have a serious word with him.
Absolutely. Usually it's just a chap who's advanced himself a short-term, unauthorized, unsecured, temporary loan from the company's account and invested it unluckily. You know, horse falls at the first fence, that's what.
So who do you think I should appoint?
Oh, well, as I say, that's not easy. Not all that many chaps the chaps trust. I mean, it's not for me to say, but if one were to be asked, as long as one were thought to be... of course, one is committed, but if one were to be pressed, I dare say one could make oneself available. As a duty one owes to...
I was thinking of Alexander James.
Ah.
What's your view?
Well, he's a good accountant.
Honest?
Yes.
Energetic?
I'm afraid so.
Would you recommend him?
No.
Why not?
Well, city's a funny place, you know, Prime Minister. If you spill the beans, you open up a whole can of worms. And how can you let sleeping dogs lie if you let the cat out of the bag? Bring in a new broom and if you're not careful, you'll find you've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. If you change horses in the middle of the street... Next thing you know, you're up the creek without a paddle.
And then the balloon goes up.
Obviously. They hit you for six. An own goal, in fact.
I'm on in half an hour, and this speech is completely devoid of content.
Oh, I don't know.
What do you think, Bernard?
I don't know.
Well, I do know.
It'll get a standing ovation.
Oh. How long?
3.5 minutes.
All the key people got stopwatches.
Issued them today.
Prime Minister, Sir Humphrey's downstairs with the Rwandan High Commissioner. Could they have a word?
The Rwandan High Commissioner?
He says it's urgent.
Oh, all right. You'd better be quick.
Can't we say something about getting more investment?
Can't get more investment while interest rates are so high.
Well, can't you lean on the Chancellor, to lean on the Treasurer, to lean on the Bank of England, to lean on the high street banks?
What, in half an hour? Not in the month of Sundays. The bank would never allow it. No, all I can do is appoint Mr. Clean as governor of the Bank of England. Hacker will take no more nonsense from the city.
Prime Minister.
High Commissioner. This is an unexpected pleasure. Do come in. Sit down, please. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, Prime Minister, the High Commissioner is concerned about the rumour that you intend to appoint Alexander Jameson to the Bank of England, which will inevitably create an investigation into Phillips Berendsen.
Forgive me, but how does this concern Miranda? Phillips Berendsen is simply a shady bank that lent 60% of its money to 3 foreigners of doubtful repute.
2 of those 3 foreigners were the president of Buranda and the chairman of the Burundan Enterprise Corporation. If you attack these loans, the president of Buranda will have no option but to interpret this move as a hostile and racist act.
Racist?
Of course.
But I have no intention of attacking the president per se. I would merely...
You say that he was someone of dubious repute.
Yes.
May I further point out that a racist attack on our president would undoubtedly create solidarity and support from all the other African states.
Commonwealth countries, Prime Minister.
We would move to have Britain expelled from the Commonwealth. Our president would be obliged to cancel Her Majesty's state visit next month, and Buranda would immediately sell all the British government stock that it has bought.
Would that create a run on the pound?
Anything else?
Isn't that enough? Hi, Commissioner. Excuse me if I have a few private words with Sir Humphrey. Thank you so much.
Very good, Captain. Such a long way. I give your words the most earnest consideration.
Please do.
How dare you put me in this position?
It is not I, Prime Minister, but Buranda. And the Commonwealth Club is yet another reason why you should exercise caution.
The president of Buranda is a crook. He shouldn't be a member of the club. He should be blackballed.
He is already.
Yes, thank you, Buranda.
I don't understand it. What's your game? Why should you be adamant that I should allow another cover-up? What's in it for you?
Nothing, Prime Minister. I assure you I have no private ulterior motive. I'm trying to protect you from yourself. I'm entirely on your side.
How can we believe that?
Because this time it's true. I mean, this time I am particularly on your side.
Anyway, I've got to say something good in my speech today. If I can't announce the appointment of Mr. Clean as Governor of the Bank of England...
Why don't you announce a cut in interest rates?
Oh, don't be silly, Humphrey.
What? Why don't you announce a cut in interest rates?
Well, the bank could never allow a political cut, particularly with Jameson as Governor.
But it would with Desmond Glazebrook as Governor. Now, if you appoint him Governor of the Bank of England, he'll cut Bartlett's Bank's interest rates in the morning. You can announce both in your speech.
How do you know?
Because you just told me. He's here.
Desmond Glazebrook as governor? Well, he's such a fool. You know, he talks in clichés. Talking clichés till the cows come home.
Does the cut in interest rates mean that prices will go up?
Well, I don't mind that as long as I get a standing inflation. Inflation.
You mean you don't want an honest man in the city?
Desmond Glazebrook isn't exactly... dishonest, is he?
No, he's too stupid to know whether he's honest or not.
The government can't operate without the goodwill of the city, can it?
No, Prime Minister.
And there'd be no point in embarrassing them needlessly, would there?
No.
Dorothy, fix my speech to include a cut in interest rates, would you? And Humphrey, ask Sir Desmond Glazebrook to come up here.
Yes, Prime Minister.